All right, let me put this all together. You ready? Here we go. Jesus comes in the clouds at a time that only God knows. All believers are taken up into the air to join with all believers who are already with him. All unbelievers now have to be subject to the unholy Trinity. So who is the unholy Trinity? If the Holy Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the unholy Trinity is the devil, that old serpent, Satan himself. Number two, the man of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Revelation chapter 13, known as the beast, will be revealed. And number three, the false prophet, the other beast.
God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on leadership. The encouraging word. And this is so much more than just a message. These are the five essentials of spiritual leadership. And Dr. Wilton will be opening God's word in just a few moments, leading out on how you and I can make a difference in the world around us. You may think, well, I'm not a leader. I don't need a leadership message. Oh, yes, you are a leader. People are influenced by you. Sometimes it's the people closest to us that God's calling us to lead out. Our family members, our friends that we work with or play sports with. In these next few days, 2 days, we're going to be studying these five essentials, and I believe it's going to bless you in a great way. You can meet us online at theencouragingword.org to connect with more resources, or if you need to pray with someone, call us. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. We'd love to pray with you. And now, today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Father, it is a wonderful thing for us to be able to come together like this. Lord, even as I early this morning listened to world news in my motor car driving to church, all the conflicts, people fighting with each other, demonstrations going on, agendas of every kind of imaginable thing, people scrambling for significance and meaning, and then they said, let us come together into the house of the Lord. Thank you for telling us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. But Lord, out here in this world, we have people being unfaithful to those that they love, committing adultery, people worshiping pagan gods and idols, people battling with debt, people being diagnosed with every kind of sickness and disease. We've got dear friends that we know and love who have received bad news physically. We have so many precious people who once were out and about and today have reached their very senior years and can no longer do things that they once did and are so much more restricted, and it's a challenge. Lord, all of these things and then 1,000 others, we all gather together. We bring this with us. We are here. We are they. This is me, Lord. Me, Lord, this is I, this is each one, and you're in the house. Thank you for our fathers today, every father and every grandfather. Thank you for the influence of our fathers, people like my own father, who today is seated with all the saints forever, right there in the presence of Jesus. We thank you for our dads. We thank you for young fathers today who are just beginning. Lord, right now you've got something to say to us. Fathers, mothers, grandparents, young people, you've got something that we need to hear. Lord, I pray today for someone who just needs a warm embrace from you. Just speak to us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we study the journeys of Paul together, as we take this journey over these weeks, God has got so many things that He wants to say to us. And today I'm going to be speaking to you about five essentials of spiritual leadership. And I want to encourage you to listen very carefully. Five essentials of spiritual leadership. There are many leaders. Leadership is a very wonderful thing that God gives to so many men and women, to young people. And the issue of leadership is so critical. We're suffering in America today from a lack of leadership. Our leadership in America is pathetic. People are looking at us. What are they watching? What do they listen to? And we call that leadership. What does God say to those of us who love Him? What does it really mean? And you know, as we journey with Paul, this man that so many people know about, you can say a lot of things about Paul, but the stamp of his spiritual leadership mattered, and it's never stopped being significant. Even on a day like today, Father's Day, I'm a dad, a grandfather. I've always wanted to be a leader to my children and in my home. But spiritual leadership, you can teach your son to hit a ball better than anybody else. He can go ahead and play in the major leagues. But if you didn't lead him spiritually, you've given him nothing. Because I promise you, the day will come when the crowds will no longer be there. In the final analysis, spiritual leadership is an incredible thing. And it's jolly difficult. You don't just roll out of bed and lead spiritually. Because we ourselves who try to lead spiritually, we face every challenge that one could possibly imagine. So we're going to do something very special today, and I want to begin by inviting you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. Now you're going to need to see this because I'm going to take you just on a brief part of his second mission journey. Just an introduction on that. And we're going to find something very significant about Paul, because as he and the others set out on this journey, there were five essential marks of their spiritual leadership that were put in place. I'm going to read to you from Acts chapter 15. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's return and visit believers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord. Let's go and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought it best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him, sailed away to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the believers at Antioch to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was also a Greek. He was well spoken of by the believers at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went on their way through the cities, and they delivered to them for observance the decisions of the Jerusalem Council that had been reached by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith, and they increased in numbers daily. So they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of the Lord Jesus would not permit them to do so. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man from Macedonia standing there saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us over here." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called them to preach the gospel in that part of the world. Just take a look over here with me for a second, because this is very, very important where they went. This journey, having already undertaken one journey, and you'll remember they left out of Antioch in Syria. They're in the northern part, right up on the Turkish border, the modern-day Turkish border. Very strategic town. We've talked about this before for a lot of reasons. This is a very strategic place. By the way, leaders always go back to strategic places to develop strategic strategies. You'll never be a spiritual leader effective the way God wants you to be unless you're willing to go back to base camp. Some of you need to go back to base. And by the way, it's a good discipline. You know, the older we get, the more we say, "Well, I've moved on." Sometimes it's not always a good thing to just move on. Some of you need to actually come back home. You need to go back home. And I'm going to really tell some of you big boys something. Some of you need to sit down and listen to Mama again. Now, this is not Mother's Day. I just thought I'd just put that in. Consider that the message for next year's Mother's Day. All right. You know, my mother is turning 94, but I still sit at her feet. And you know, she doesn't take any nonsense from me. I mean, she'll just tell me like it is. Well, any rate, so this is Antioch. This is base camp. This is the local church. This is home. This is where the roots are. And so they came back here and they gathered the church together and they shared all about their first trip and all the things that went on, all the good stuff and all the not so good stuff. Sometimes it's good to sit down with home people that you can trust and tell them the good stuff and also the not so good stuff. You need to get it out of your system. You walking around with all the stuff in your system, but you need to get it out in the right place with the right people at the right time. You start talking to anybody everywhere at any time, you're asking for trouble. Be careful who you talk to. So here they are, and they take off on the second journey, and they go here back to Derbe. There's Derbe right there. And remember, that's where they turned around the first time. They got as far as Derbe coming this way. They got to Derbe and God said, stop. On the second trip, God lets them cover right through the province of Cilicia here. And they get to Derbe and they keep going to Lystra. And I keep telling you this, Lystra was the headquarters of God worship. They venerated gods, Zeus and Hermes, God of thunder, Hermes, the God of boundaries. Remember, Paul ran into them head on. Up here in Iconium, well, they didn't like him very much there. They even tried to stone them. So that's a nice how do you do, because Paul and now Silas are going back into the hornet's nest. But they went back to base before they went back into where they needed to go. Sometimes it's good to go home, sit down, drink a jolly good cup of tea, take a deep breath, listen to people who know what they're talking about, gather your wits around you, re-strengthen, recharge, take a sabbatical, take a deep breath. Now get out there and do what God's telling you to do. Some of you are so whipped, so worn out, so beaten down, you need to stop. And it's a good thing to do that. This is a picture that we've got here that was taking place. And I just want to mention this to you because five things happened to them as they were leaving, as they began the second missionary journey. Number one, they left good leaders behind. He, Paul, left good leaders behind when he left.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on the Encouraging Word broadcast, and there's more to come in this great message on the essentials of spiritual leadership. But Dr. Wilton wants me to remind you, we're here for you, not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day. This phone number, I'll slow down so you can jot it down or open your phone and store it as a contact, is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And anytime, day or night, it'll connect you with one of us who look forward to praying with you, praying for you, of knowing how God can use this connection to encourage you and maybe connect you with great resources that'll help you grow in God's Word. Know that we're here 24 hours a day, 866-899-9673. Or if you'd like to connect keyboard to keyboard, let's do it online at our website, theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
You know, this dispute that came about over John Mark. John Mark was a good leader. Don't throw him out. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't just write people off because they have a difference of opinion. But be very careful. And Paul understood that. He left a good man behind, and he disagreed with Barnabas. And Barnabas was a wonderful man. He came from Cyprus. He turned to Barnabas, Mr. Encourager, said to him, Barnabas, I'm sorry, but God's telling me that John Mark is not the man to take this trip. And you remember on the last trip how he just abandoned us. By the way, be careful of people who say they're going to do something and they may even begin it and then they just abandon you. Very big sign. Be careful of people who talk up a storm and will say, man, I'll do it, and they'll actually start doing it, but 2 days into it, you can't smell them for dust. People you want to look for are the people who are there all the way. Just giving you some thoughts here, spiritually we're talking about. Don't be like a modern day American politician. In America, all we hear is yada, 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 yada. We go and elect them and then they don't do what they said they were going to do. And as a spiritual leader, as a father, as a mother, be careful of your word, that your yea be yea and your nay be nay when it comes to the things that you do for the Lord Jesus. And that's within the context of all the challenges that we... Who doesn't have a challenge? Who doesn't make many mistakes? Who doesn't sin daily against God? So the first thing you can say about him on this trip is he left good leaders behind him. Secondly, he recognized the importance of mentoring. When we get down into chapter 16 and verse 1 following, we get this beautiful picture of this man named Timothy. Timothy was a young man. In fact, Paul was to write two letters to Timothy, just chock full of instruction. If you want a mentoring manual, go and read the two letters to Timothy. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Go and read it. And it's just filled with instructions for people like me and like you. But it's really essentially about spiritual mentoring. And this was very important to the apostle as he went about doing what God was telling him to do. And by the way, that's in the midst of all the things that were going on. A lot of hardship. Number three, Paul carried with him very important instructions. Very important instructions. You'll remember back in Acts chapter 15, before they set out on their second missionary journey, they gathered together in Jerusalem. It was called the Jerusalem council. I like that. It's just the Jerusalem council, and all these leaders got together and they made some very important decisions as believers. And when Paul left to go on his journey, meeting with people, teaching others, mentoring, and above all sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he carried with him very important instructions. And amongst those instructions was the instructions on how we should live in the world in which we find ourselves. So in the context of this journey, let's go back here. In the context of this journey, we're going to go on this trip with them from Antioch through the province of Cilicia to Lystra to Iconium. And then we're going to come all the way across here through the province of Mysia. I read about that in just a little while. Right here to this spot where something very, very special happened. In all of this journey, Paul finds himself as a leader amongst a very diverse people. And he's ministering as a leader to young people and to older people and to believers everywhere. He's building up the church. And he carries with him these important instructions. But he doesn't keep those instructions in his pocket. Leaders do not pocket instructions. They share them, they teach them, and they demonstrate them. You know, amongst many other things in the Jerusalem Council was how they should live morally. And essentially, there were two arms of the Jerusalem Council instruction. Number one was that believers must live moral lives. Abstain from sexual immorality. That's what it spelled out. Be very careful how you live and what you do with your body. In fact, the Bible is very clear about our conduct. One man for one woman for one lifetime. The Bible is very clear about sexuality. The Bible is very clear when it comes to sin against God. Paul didn't keep this in his pocket. He didn't hide it away. He got up there in front of people and he said, "Let me share with you how we should live, because these are some of the greatest challenges that we'll face." But then he transitioned and he said, not only should you live moral lives in accordance with the standards of God's word, but you also need never to become a stumbling block. That little word, stumbling block, is very important. It's right there in chapter 15 and verse 29. He says that you abstain what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. And if you keep to these things and hold yourself to these truths, you will do well. Why did he talk about not eating food sacrificed to idols? Because if they in fact did, and there was nothing spiritually wrong about that, it would in and of itself become a stumbling block to the very people who needed to hear the truth about the love of God in Christ Jesus.
And when we hear the pastor speak about that stumbling block, I just feel convicted right now that some of you have been stumbling over someone else, something else that's preventing you from saying yes to Jesus Christ. You know, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. I married a sinner. She married a bigger sinner. And we realize that in the middle of the life that we live, sometimes we drop the ball. Is there an individual or even a church that's dropped the ball and become a stumbling block for you to say yes to Jesus? Please don't let any of us flawed, messed up people stop you from knowing Jesus, who is perfect, and his love for you is perfect. And he would use this radio station and this broadcast right now to let you know he loves you and has a plan for your life. Oh, we'd love to pray with you, talk with you about that. If you want to go keyboard to keyboard, meet us on our website, theencouragingword.org. But perhaps this time for a conversation. I know we text and type a lot, but a conversation we'd love to have with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And coming up next, perhaps the most important moments from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you ready to give your heart to Jesus? I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
Again, if the Lord has spoken to you, let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. Perhaps you have questions. Let us discover the answers in God's encouraging word. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And speaking of encouraging word, Dr. Don has a closing thought.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
The number again is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We would love to connect with you. And thank you so much to many of you who are helping us lift up the name of Jesus. For Jesus has promised, if He be lifted up, He'll draw men and women and boys and girls unto Himself. And we're seeing that happen through the Encouraging Word Broadcast Ministries.
You know, I want to say something to you personally. You ready for this? Thank you. It's a powerful word, isn't it? Small one, powerful. I want to thank you. You see, the sun hardly rises or sets in a day that we don't see people come to know Christ through this broadcast ministry. Every day. And you make that possible through your prayers, most of all, and through your financial giving. God is doing something great. And in our world today, this medium of television, very important, folks. This is very, very important. God is allowing us to go into more and more homes across the United States of America. Thank you for helping us make this possible. And let's never stop praying that people would come to know Jesus. God bless you.